last few weeks, we have been working our way through the book of 1 John. 1 John is one of the smaller books right before the book of Revelation. And there are three actual kind of books of John besides the gospel. The gospel is over in another part, but then there's the letters of 1 John, and there's two of them. They're teeny tiny little books. They're barely a book, really kind of a, you know, sort of a brief note. But then this one that we've been working our way through is chewy, okay? And there's a lot of really important information in there, a lot that is to help us to understand who God is in our lives. Chewy, right? Not the company that sends you dog food. Not the sidekick of Han Solo, but something that's really kind of like, you know, you got to work your way through it. So we're going to work our way through this particular passage that you wonderfully read. Thank you so much. And because there's a lot of twists and turns with that, and there's a lot of repetition in there. So let me just kind of, if you would not mind, let me sort of step through some of these things with you. And I, this week was, talking with someone about, in psychological tests. Now, some of you know that I, used to be a psychologist in a former life. I'm a recovering psychologist. That is not something that I say with pride. It's something, quite frankly, of amazement, you know, that they let me do that work, you know, oh my gosh, you know. They letting me do this? As part of my training, I learned how to do personality testing. I did a lot of testing during the course of my work. And I learned how to use ink blots. Okay? There's a test called the Rorschach ink blot test. By the way, I still have my cards. They're in a box in my basement. Okay? I only used them a few times. I didn't really find myself using them a lot because I had a different kind of clientele. I would show them to kids. I worked largely with kids. And sometimes the kids, when I would try to use this, would go, "You think that's cool? Let me draw you something better," you know, and they would kind of like work their way through that. But the, and this is not a, an actual part of the test. This is AI generated because I did not want to put the actual card in front of you. Not that it would do anything like damaging to you or anything like that. But you know, we try to kind of preserve the validity of this in case it's ever needed. The idea is that, person who is using this instrument with a person, kind of helping them sort of think through things, that they would show them the card and that it was an ambiguous enough thing. It's, you know, I mean, it's an ink blot, right? It's not like a drawing of a house or anything like that, but it's an ink blot, and that the person that is sitting there seeing that would kind of you know, respond to that, but also those things that are kind of percolating or things that are going on inside of them, they would kind of sort of come forth too. So it's a matter of giving a, you know, a stimulus and seeing how things would come forward. Like sometimes we need grandma. I need grandma too sometimes. You got it? What's in here can sometimes be elicited to come out and be, we can be in conversation about that. What we have inside of us is something that is constantly responding to the world around us. And so this is kind of a controlled way of doing it. There are lots of different ways of doing that. All right. Anybody feeling creeped out here? Please don't. But if you do, I get it, you know. We are not going to do a Rorschach test. I'm not going to say, "Do you see the spiders?" Oh, good, good. That's a good sign for all of you. No, I'm kidding. I don't see spiders either. Like I said, this is AI. It was just something I wanted to throw up here. But what I actually wanted to do is give you another thing to think about and to ask you, you know, what is it that your response would be to? So, Devontae, could you throw the next slide? So this is a good one. Because a lot of, you know, we could answer this in a lot of different ways. I mean, some of us might have heard the scripture that I just read, or we just heard together, that God is love. But others, you know, who may be struggling with that whole idea may say, God is hard to figure out. Right? God is challenging. God is like my father, but not in a good way. God is merciful and kind. God is wrathful and vengeful. You find both of those inside of our scriptures by the way people describe how they understand God. Or it could be metaphorical language. God is like a rock. God is like a good shepherd. God is... So I wanted to invite you just to kind of consider what it is from your perspective. And by the way, it's your perspective, not a bad perspective or a wrong perspective or your messed up kind of perspective, but just, you know, what is it that you are feeling, seeing, experiencing as you see the blank after that? I won't ask you to call out answers, but hold that, your answer, in your mind and heart. Because, you know, what is it saying to you about where you are and who God is in the midst of this moment? Now, let me also invite you to hear again what 1 John says about who God is. Because one of the things that we have is our experience. We use that as a theological resource, our experience and the experience of the people in our community. We absolutely must, because we say that the Holy Spirit is working its way through our community, right? But we also say that there are traditions in our church's teaching. There are things that we find in our scriptures. There are lots of different resources. So let me ask you to hold your experience, but also hear the scripture. Okay, 1 John, hear the scripture that may help fill in the blank. God is love. The person who doesn't love does not know God, because God is love. Would you say that with me? God, right. This is how the love of God is revealed to us. God has sent his only son into the world so that we can live through him. God has sent his only son into the world so that we can live through him. Not that we get to kind of like figure it out on our own. It is the work of Jesus. It is the presence and the power of Jesus entering into this world that allows us to live through him. This is love. It is not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his son as the sacrifice that deals with our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us this way, we also ought to love one another by being just as forgiving, just as merciful, just as full of sacrifice for our brother and sister. You know, what did Jesus say? You know, no greater love than laying down your life for your friends. And if you don't do that, you know, First John calls you out as, do you really even know God? Can you even finish that sentence? So our scripture says something very important and very powerful, even as we might also have some additional thoughts, additional ways to put in that. And this is where good theology happens, because good church discipleship happens, because it's figuring that out, the tension between the two. Let's try another one. Devante, roll that beautiful bean footage. Okay. Maybe not bean footage, but there you are. Others. Now, we have a lot of others around us. Some of our others are our neighbors, and some of them are our friends. Some of them are our family members, the ones that we like, and the ones that we don't. Right. That brother-in-law that drives you crazy, that cousin that seems to be from the devil. You know, all these people. Others, these are the people that are around us. These are the people that are not me. And sometimes we have, you know, a very kind of generous point of view about those others. And sometimes those others are like a baby on a plane. Some of y'all got that just now. A baby on a bus, a baby kind of, you know, an elderly person who's angry, a teenager who's self-absorbed. Fill in the blank. So for you, how do you fill in the blank? You know, others are irritating. Others are beautiful. Others are fascinating. Others are what? Complicated. I like that. Because that's a reality. The others are more than just the simple things that irritate us about them or we love about them. The others are people. Let's hear what the scriptures say about others. This is again from 1 John. We love because God first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters. I hate them because they don't like the way that I drive. I hate them because of the way that they act in front of my friends, in front of my, I hate them for the way in which they think, they vote, they act, they believe, they love. I hate them. I don't want any part of that. Let me finish this sentence. Those who say, I love God and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. Yeah. Those who say, I love God and hate their brothers and sisters. After all, those who don't love their brothers and sisters whom they have seen can hardly love God whom they have not seen. This commandment we have from God. Those who claim to love God ought to love their brothers and sisters. Let's try another one. Devante, roll the... All right, here we go. I am... This is a powerful one. This is the one I always struggle the most with. You know, when sometimes you, like, get into a group and there's, like, the painful icebreaker that sometimes they make you go through, like... Tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us something that we don't know about you. Tell us what, just give us a little something, something exciting, something interesting, you know, or something, you know, kind of fundamentally important about you. And I always freeze, right? Like, what is something interesting about you? Sometimes I will say, I played French horn in high school. Now, that's not interesting. To some people, it might be. But to most people, it's like, you're a nerd. Or it's, you know, as we heard before, others are complicated. I am complicated. You are complicated. But how would you deal with that? if you were to strip away some of the anxiety, if you were to kind of just say, you know, the first thing that comes, the thing that is present really, that you know you might not like or you may love about that, how do you feel that? See, that will stay with you. And this is one of those things that we are constantly kind of like backburnering it. Do you know what I mean by backburnering it? It's like those green beans that you don't need for a while on the stove, right? You're still working on the meat, but you got the green beans back there. Sometimes we will have that and we will be chewing on that, but we won't want to actually come out and deal with it because it's hard. Let me remind you, however, what Scripture has to say from 1 John. It says that you were loved and you were forgiven. This is how the love of God is revealed to us. God has sent His only Son into this world so that we can live through Him. This is love. It is not that we loved God, but He loved us and sent us His Son as the sacrifice that deals with our brokenness, our cantankerousness, our sin. So as much as we carry around the shame and the guilt that you will easily find on the back end of that sentence, please know that there is actually the perspective of God that you can claim as well. I am beloved. You're a person that has the very image of God impressed in you. You may go, no, not me. Trust me. The very goodness of that loving God is implanted in you. In fact, what Jesus says, you need to be perfect as the Father in heaven is perfect. What does He mean? He means that we need to have that love that is inside of us to come out and be expressed in a way that God loves it. God does it. Okay? So, there is within you this complexity, including the fact that you are beautiful and beloved and precious in the eyes of so many, but especially a loving God. If not, why bother? Really? Last one. If in all the complexity that we have discussed today, God is, others are, I am, if all of that is churning with our experience, our brokenness, our hopes, our dreams, our aspirations, our life. If all of that is working together, it has to work in combination, be in churn with our scriptures. If God is love, there's a relatively recent book that came out that said, if God is love, and we should stop being jerks. You know what a jerk is, right? You can fill in the blank on that. What can we be? Who is it that we, individually, we as a church, we as a community, we as a culture and society, what can we become in the light of that love of God? This is a good question. And one that gives us the opportunity to set a course, to chart a path, to correct those things that need to be adjusted and find the GPS pointing in the right direction. Martin Luther King said, Love is the greatest force in the universe. It is the heartbeat of the moral cosmos. One who loves is a participant in the being of God. We love because God first loved us. And maybe it would be good for us to avoid being jerks. And I say all this to you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.